The Taijervin Chronicles by Richard Fife. Chapter 10. The High Meister. Okay, good. Now give it a quarter turn clockwise. Jason watched and smiled as Torbit did as he was instructed. The boy could follow orders, and when he was not letting himself be caught up in thinking about it, he could be rather smart, too. Good, Jason said. Now just pull that gear out by the mandrel. Torbit did, and the generator spun down, despite that the water wheel driving it still turned. True, in a smaller system, it would have been easier to just stop the wheel, but Tesma's mill house was anything but small. And of course, the problems the devices suffered scaled proportionally as well, and this generator had been giving odd levels lately. Good, good, Jason said. Now get out of there and let's go look at the coils. Torbit crawled out of the service pit and onto the walkway. Thanks for letting me help out, Meister Harris. Jason sighed at the title. Torbit was a good lad, but ever since his brother Lecter had left the guild, he had gotten far too hung up on propriety. It was hard enough to get the boy to use Jason's first name in his own lab. Jason had long ago given up trying to get him to relax in the mill house. It's good to do some old-fashioned maintenance, Jason said. The Meister cannot live by invention alone. They walked a short way to where the generator was, but Jason had to stop Torbit before he hopped down into the service pit. Yes, the generator was off, but it would take a few minutes to cool down. By the sudden blush on Torbit's face, he remembered now, too. Jason crossed his arms while he waited. Say, I never got to ask you, how'd your meeting with Meister Barak go?
I don't really know, Torbit said. She didn't really ask me all that much about my projects, and she barely looked over my report. She kept asking questions about Gavriel and Kira and that other fellow they had with them, really.
Marcus, Jason said. I wonder what that was about. And now that I think of it, I haven't seen them around lately. Have you?
Torbit shook his head. No, and after how Meister Barak drilled me, I kind of don't want to. She was asking all sorts of things I didn't understand.
The ways of higher Meisters are strange, Jason said. There is a reason I stopped trying to advance.
You could be High Meister if you wanted, Torbit said. I don't see why you don't keep advancing.
I'm happy fixing things, Jason said. Speaking of which, the generator is safe now. Torbit did not move, and Jason looked at him and saw that his attention was further down the catwalk, back towards the complex. Jason turned and followed his gaze and swore under his breath. Speak of Praedon. Christina marched down the catwalk like a queen in her castle, a folio in the crook of her arm and a sneer on her lips. Her eyes were on Torbit, and when she reached them, she acted as if Jason was not even there.
Meister Sinnott, we need to talk.
Torbit glanced at Jason and swallowed hard. Christina, Jason said. Why are you in my mill house? Christina finally looked at Jason with narrowed eyes, but a mask of civility quickly replaced it. She knew the bylaws of the guild, and that Tesma had appointed Jason as the Master Meister of the mill house, making him Christina's equal, at least around the giant water wheels. Outside of the mill house was a different story, but they were inside now. Espionage has been committed against the guild, Jason, she said. I am trying to assess the damage, and I need to speak with Meister Sinnott to that effect.
Are you trying to say Torbit was involved? Jason said. Because I can vouch for him this entire past week. He's been with me, and we've been rather busy. Besides, you know he doesn't talk to Lecter.
I never said it was Lecter, Meister Harris, Christina said. Why else would you want to speak to a junior Meister about something he wasn't involved in? Jason said. But I'm curious, what exactly was this espionage?
Documents from a Meister dispatched to Adderven to study those abominations, she said. They were stolen in a rather spectacular fashion.
Then you should be talking to Sunset House, Jason said.
The proper reports have been made, Christina said. What I am curious about is how the thieves, or should I say Lecter, who no doubt hired them, knew about the documents in the first place. They were being transported in secret.
So you are accusing a junior Meister, who wouldn't have even known about it, of telling Lecter? Jason shook his head.
Christina, you're barking up the wrong tree. Now, if you don't mind, we have work to do, and if you insist on holding us up, I'm not taking the heat for it when Tesma gets worked up over the power levels again.
Christina looked like she wanted to snap Jason's head off, but held back whatever she was going to say when a junior Meister came running down the catwalk.
Meister Barak, the woman said. The High Meister requests your presence immediately. There is a noble from the castle. Christina's face became even more of a storm cloud.
Really? Tell him I'll be there shortly.
Run along now.
Walk, Jason said.
At least while you're in here. I don't want you tripping and falling into a turbine. Christina scowled at Jason, but nodded to the junior Meister, who started back to the complex at a fast pace half between walking and running.
This isn't over, Jason, Christina said.
Torbit, my office, first thing tomorrow morning. And I think I'll be wanting to talk to you too, Jason.
When my schedule permits it, Jason said. I'm rather busy during the workday, especially with the new standards Tesma has demanded, and the two new water wheels we're putting in.
I'll let you know when it's convenient for me. Best be on your way, though. Don't want to make him wait.
Christina nearly shivered with contained rage, but she turned on her heel and strode back down the catwalk.
Jason turned back around, crossed his arms, and looked Torbit over.
You don't have anything to do with this, do you?
Torbit shook his head.
No, Meister Hares.
Was that wise, antagonizing the Master Meister like that?
She'll keep, he said. This generator won't. Now get down in there.
Torbit squeaked and scurried into the pit, and Jason followed him.
Oh, he would pay for antagonizing Christina, but he could take it. He had so few chances to tweak her nose that he could not pass it up. Besides, he knew Torbit was innocent. The boy would not know how to betray the guild if someone gave him an outline schematic. But then, everyone had their faults.
Jason put it out of mind and focused on repairing the generator. Christina walked into her father's office without knocking. It was not really an office, but instead some sort of conglomeration of office, throne room, and lab. But an office was what it was supposed to be.
Tesma sat on his throne, wearing his coat and hat as if they were royal raiment. His fingers were steepled in front of him, and his eyes only flickered to her for a moment before returning to the man standing before him. Christina was almost disappointed when she saw the noble was not that Canidus chit. When the messenger had found her in the mill house, that was who she had surely thought it had been.
"Repeat your request, Lord Davis," Tesma said. Davis wet his lips and looked back to Christina for a moment.
"Not a request, Tesma. I need 15 more mechanical Meisters at my factory. I have a writ from Sunset House."
15, Christina said. "I'm afraid we cannot. Our Meisters are already spread thin, and so many will set back various projects."
Davis pulled the letter out from his coat.
"As I said, I have a writ with Count Jaeger's signature. Sunset House has determined that it is in Tigervin's best interest that my factories have the Meisters, and that it is the Guild's duty to provide them.
Or do you no longer fall under the authority of Sunset House?"
"We will speak with Sunset House," Tesma said, "but we do still fall under its authority. Christina will see to the allocation of Meisters for you. You may leave your list of requirements with her."
Christina glanced to her father in shock. Was he really going to let the castle push him around so easily?
His eyes met hers, and he shook his head so slightly he might have only been stretching his neck had Christina not known him.
She turned back to Davis and took the folio, with the writ inside.
"You will have your Meisters by week's end," she said.
"I need them tomorrow," Davis said.
"It's all there, in the writ."
Christina's hands tightened on the folio, and she wanted to do nothing more than rip it up and throw it back in the man's face, but she kept her forced smile on.
"Of course. If that is all, I will have an apprentice show you out."
Davis smirked and nodded, and Christina quickly saw him to the door and passed him off to one of the apprentices saddled with reception duty.
Once he was safely gone, she opened the folio and read over the requirements. She nearly screamed.
"Be calm, daughter," Tesma said. "How bad is it?"
"He wants 2 Master Meisters," she said,
"and the rest are to be at the lowest Submeisters. Prince Dorian must have conveniently forgotten that he is better to leave us to our own management."
"The prince?"
Tesma stood up and walked over to the lab section of the room, where he began fiddling with one of the shock shield prototypes.
"What makes you think this is Dorian's handiwork?"
"It is Jaeger's signature," Christina said, "and the man is nothing more than a puppet for the prince. Perhaps he knows of your plans, father. This will set us back considerably. What will we do?"
"I am not concerned," Tesma said. "The loss of a few of those fools who call themselves Meisters will not impede us much."
"But this, on top of the theft of those documents?" She put the folio down on the desk and walked over to him. What if it was Castle Sintat that stole them, not Lecter? They could be damaging. They wouldn't know what to make of those documents if they had them, Tesma said. No, Christina, you are worrying. We go forward as planned and continue to be the servile peasants they think we are until we are ready. We should at least find out more about this writ, Christina said. It is obvious they are testing us, which they would not do if they were not already a little suspicious of us. If we simply take it, that will make us appear as if we were hiding something far more than if we made polite inquiry. Tesma looked up and out a nearby window. His eyes were distant, as if listening to something, and at last he nodded. You have been learning the ways of court, daughter. It helps to have nobles who think themselves my friends, she said. If your game is to succeed, we must appear to be playing theirs. He looked back down at the shock shield and sat it down. Very well. Arrange for us to attend some court function. Something not too formal, I think. And make sure Jaeger and Dorian will be there. Us, father? Christina said. Yes, you and I, Tesma said. I haven't been out of the lab in a while. Perhaps it is time to remind them I am still High Meister in this city. Yes, father, Christina said. And see to Lord Davis's request as well, Tesma said. You may pick from where you will, except for Meister Hares and his team. They are the only ones that are truly important. Christina clenched her fists. Jason had been the first name to come to mind when she saw the requirements. He had dodged effective banishment. For now. As you say, father. She smiled, picked the folio up, and left for her own office. She had a letter to write, and a list of underachievers to figure out to send away. Roger looked up from his papers as Sergeant Frezen announced Lord Thames. Brian walked in, dapper as any noble, and took a seat. Roger dismissed the sergeant with a gesture and poured himself a drink. Care for one? He said. Thank you, no, Brian said. But do not limit yourself on my account. Roger smiled and poured a little more into his glass before he put the stopper in the decanter. And to what do I owe the honor of your company today? Have another recruit you want checked out? What I need is not exactly a matter of military record, Brian said. But I think you might be able to oblige nonetheless. I'm curious, what do you know about Lecter Sennett? The old High Meister? Roger rubbed his chin. I don't know. Anything not dealing with the constant stream of paperwork here in the office gets so fuzzy and jumbled together. Perhaps I can help you remember with something new, Brian said. He's working with the rebels now, and he stole some documents from the Meisters. I couldn't really make heads or tails of them while they were in my possession, but they seemed to be detailed notes and schematics of some sort. He paid rather well for them. I knew he worked for the rebels, Hare said. But that mess up in Ducktown, that was you? Might I ask exactly how dear it was to him? More than you make in a year, Brian said. Much more. Then perhaps I should turn to a life of securing valuables, Roger said. What I know about him is that he still thinks he is the High Meister. Apparently, Tesma used some loophole in the guild's bylaws to oust him from the position. Do you think he could recreate Tesma's lightning? Brian said. Perhaps even be able to make something Tesma could not? He is a blindingly intelligent man, Roger said. I met him once, you know, back before I was in the service and was considering trying the life of a Meister like my brother Jason. He might be able to, but I am hardly a judge of such things. Might I ask why you want to know? I just want to know who I'm dealing with, Brian said. Well, you best be careful, Roger said. Your little operation has been getting quite a bit of attention lately, and that debacle in Ducktown isn't going to lighten it. Hardly anyone died, Brian said, and accidents happen in the shipyards all the time. I have it on good authority that Sunset House has taken an interest in you, friend, Roger said. There is a warrant out specifically for your operation, and the authorities aren't the only ones who you have made enemies of. You tread a razor path, Lord Thames. Brian smiled slightly. One hardly expects to be loved in my line of work. Such is the fate thrust upon me. Well, don't say I didn't try and warn you, Roger said. I think you had best be more careful than usual. Brian stood. I'll keep that in mind, but I had best be off. My operation won't run itself, after all. Indeed, Roger said. Sergeant Frezen will see you out. Brian nodded and left, and Roger picked over the report he had been working on until the sergeant returned. "He's on his way?"
"Yes, sir," Fresen said.
"Follow him. Find out where it is that he calls home. And Shane," Roger said, "don't be seen." Fresen nodded and left, and Roger went back to his report. He knew he should feel bad for betraying a friend, but he had tried to warn him. Still, in the end, business was business. Brian would understand, at least on some level. Roger poured himself another drink and went back to his paperwork. Micah walked into the fencing cell and looked around. Most of the younger members of the court were there, with about half of them on a pist sparring. It was refreshing that this, at least, was common across the countries, although she had only now been able to attend one of these informal fencing courts the prince held. Becca walked up to her, a mask in one hand and a sword in the other, and smiled. "Lady Canidus, I didn't know you fenced."
"Since I was a little girl," Micah said.
"Shall we find an open pist?"
"I was waiting for Ariel, but I suppose a little sparring wouldn't hurt."
Becca turned and walked back towards the fencing floor.
"So, I heard you had tea with my uncle the other day. I trust he was a gentleman?"
Micah gave the other woman a sidelong glance.
"Of course. Why would he not be?"
"He can be gruff at times," Becca said, "especially with someone he thinks is manipulating him, and of late, he seems to think everyone is."
"Well, you can rest easy that he was an absolute delight to have for tea," Micah said. "Truly, I think I should have to invite him again. He is rather adept at conversation."
"And what is a conversation but a sparring of words instead of steel?"
Becca laughed and stepped onto an empty pist.
"But let us brandy blades now, milady."
Micah saluted with her blade as she stepped up and put her mask on. Even behind Becca's mask, Micah could see her smiling. As their blades started to dance around each other, the smile turned to a look of determination. What did the little chit expect? That Micah would be an amateur swordswoman? She pressed Becca back down the pist, easily parrying lunges and relentlessly attacking. It was not that Becca was an amateur herself. No, Micah would not belittle the woman that much. Her blade work was skilled, but she had an obvious tell before she lunged, and she seemed to completely ignore the lower lines of attack. The bout ended 8-1, and Micah had actually let Becca have that one touch. Not that she had made it look that way. It was better for an opponent to leave with some dignity intact, even in a friendly spar. Becca removed her mask and took a deep breath.
"Milady is quite skilled."
Voxfeldian professors feel that the mind emulates the body and vice versa. As such, a nimble body and a nimble mind are inseparable.
"I don't know about that," Becca said.
"Uncle is hardly nimble of limb any more, but he is more than nimble of mind." Micah smiled and stepped off the pist.
"Perhaps. Ah, it looks like Lady Dunny is arriving."
Back at the entrance, Ariel was just walking through the door, though not dressed to fence. That hardly surprised Micah, despite Becca's indication that Ariel would be otherwise. She doubted the woman would know which end of a weapon to even hold. What Micah did not expect, though, was Christina, who walked beside her. The Meister was dressed for the event, although she scandalously was wearing breeches instead of a skirt. Becca passed by Micah on her way to greet the newcomers, and Micah trailed behind. What could it mean that Christina was here? Well, Micah thought, a tall, lean man broke away from the group and headed over to the stands, where Count Jaeger and Prince Dorian sat.
"Becca," she said. "Who is that?"
Becca glanced to where Micah pointed.
"Oh, that's the High Meister. I wonder what he's doing here."
"Tesma?" Micah looked at the man again. Yes, she could see some of Christina in him, tall, lean, and with a pointed nose. Why was he wearing that coat and hat, though? Surely they were stifling in the summer heat. Micah started to ask another question, but they had reached the group, and Ariel stepped forward.
"Becca," Ariel said, "there you are. But why are you panting?"
"Oh, I was just sparring with Lady Canidus," Becca said. "She is really quite good with a blade."
Ariel smiled. "Oh, you love to play with swords too, milady? I find it terribly violent, but I must admit it is rather amusing way to pass the afternoon,
watching the men get their aggression out." Micah nodded, not quite sure how to take the comment, and turned to Christina.
"Meister, I am surprised to see you here. I didn't think your temperament would match court well."
"So you have me figured out," Christina said.
"I do find the drooling presumptions of power so many nobles have to be tiring, and I typically have far more important things to do back at the guild. But
Today Father wished to make an appearance at court, and Ariel was so kind as to invite us to a gathering where I might at least exercise my body, if not my mind.
Then perhaps you will do me the honor of a bout, Micah said.
I prefer to fence with the men, Christina said. They are closer to my level. I would hate terribly to embarrass you, especially after Becca here spoke so highly of your skill.
I think it is your own inflated opinion of yourself that would suffer, Micah said.
Don't tell me you're afraid a foreign backwater bumpkin will make you look the neophyte.
Both Becca and Ariel had been listening to the conversation with morbid fascination, but now they both drew in a sharp breath. Christina's eyes narrowed.
Very well, bumpkin, she said. If you are so eager to be embarrassed, so be it. I could use someone to warm up on.
I will only be embarrassed for you, Micah said. Choose a pist.
I say, Jaeger, isn't that Tesma and his daughter?
Jaeger looked down to the entrance and forced only the slightest surprise to show in his voice.
Why, yes, Your Highness, I do believe it is. I wonder what made them crawl out from that complex of theirs.
Try and be civil, Dorian said. It isn't like they have actually done anything to you.
Perhaps, Jaeger said.
Dorian caught Tesma's eye and gestured, and the man broke away from the group. No doubt he would have walked over had Dorian gestured for him to stay away. Tesma went where he wished. A week ago, Jaeger would not have thought much of that. Today was another matter.
Your Highness, Tesma said, it is good to see you after so long. I regret that I cannot find my way to court more often, but the work at the lab seems to never end.
I have missed our conversations, Dorian said. It is a pleasure to see you here now.
Pray tell, Jaeger said. What brings you out, then?
Tesma glanced at him for a moment, then turned his eyes to somewhere just past Jaeger's shoulder.
I think you know that, Count of Sunset.
Dorian looked at Jaeger.
What does he mean?
Jaeger smiled. That the Meister had risen to his bait meant nothing, not by itself. But it was a start. He is talking about the writ I issued to Lord Davis.
Dorian frowned. A writ? Pertaining to what?
Tesma glanced back to Dorian with a slight look of surprise and turned his eyes out to the fencers.
I thought you would have known, Your Highness.
2 days ago, Lord Davis came to us with a writ from Sunset House demanding we send 15 Meisters over to his factories.
Dorian turned to Jaeger. What is the meaning of this?
It is part of your rejuvenation project, Your Majesty, Jaeger said. The one that you tasked me with several months ago? The Davis factories produce bricks, mortar, and steel that will be useful in rebuilding the southern cities, but they are woefully underdeveloped at present. The Meisters are needed to modernize them to our needs.
Oh, well, Dorian said, I can see the misunderstanding. Still, you should have consulted me before sending such a writ to the High Meister.
Tesma, I am sorry about this.
So you reverse the writ, Tesma said. I need the Meisters for our projects. The Guild can surely find a better use of their time, and Davis can petition the Guild for any modernization to his factory needs.
If this was a purely business matter, I would agree, Jaeger said, but this is an initiative of the state, which takes precedence.
It isn't that dire, Dorian said. I think we can accommodate the Guild in this.
You were rather insistent about this project when you gave it to me, Your Majesty, Jaeger said. Besides, even with the improvements, it will be early winter before we can get relief to the war-torn cities. Without them, our people will freeze for want of adequate shelter.
So melodramatic, Count, Tesma said. Even here, winters are not so harsh, and I am sure you can find ways to help the southern people without hurting the nation by crippling the guild so with your writ.
15 Meisters out of hundreds, Jaeger said. I doubt that will be so crippling, except perhaps to personal projects.
Tesma smiled and looked back at Jaeger, this time not looking away.
But where one writ has been made, others may follow. How soon before you have stripped the guild with mismanaged demands?
I'll have the writ recalled, Dorian said. I am sorry this happened, Tesma. The Count was simply being overzealous in his duties.
Tesma smiled and looked somewhere to the prince's lower left.
Thank you, Your Highness. And I can understand zeal in one's passions. In the future, if the Count would but let us know of his needs, we will do what we can to help.
Jaeger leaned back. So that was the way of it. Tesma had not really done anything wrong. He was simply a businessman seeking to protect his interests.
No, that had not been the test anyway. He had simply wanted to bring the High Meister out of his tower and observe more closely how others acted around him. The prince's simpering deference was the real answer to Jaeger's questions. That, and the way everyone who seemed to even look at Tesma since he stepped into the room did so with awe, and rarely kept their gaze on him for long. Jaeger looked out over the room, and noticed that what eyes were not glancing up at the prince and the High Meister were instead locked on a bout in the centermost pist. He leaned forward. I say, who is that? Dorian followed Jaeger's gaze. Well, I'd say one of them is the High Meister's daughter. And could that be Lady Micah she is sparring with? Tesma turned his wondering gaze to the match. Micah, I have heard this name. The heiress to Canidus? Yes, I think it is, Jaeger said. I had no clue she was so splendid a fencer. As they watched, Micah matched Christina well in a constant swirl of steel. The fight seemed to last forever before a touch was landed and Jaeger caught the score. 4 touches to each. The next would determine the winner. Jaeger could not suppress a smile. He had seen Christina humiliate the best men in court, and given what she had done to Micah at the Meister's Guild, he hoped Micah could return the favor here and now. Before they started the last exchange, Jaeger glanced about and noticed Tesma had disappeared, left without so much as a by your leave. One thing was for sure, the man was dangerously out of control. Micah parried the feinted attack and moved to bind Christina's blade into a low line. The woman was good, very good, but Micah knew she was better. The score might say they were evenly matched right now, but each of Micah's touches had been resounding works of art, where Christina's had been gambles and luck. The bind paid off, and Christina overextended herself as she disengaged and attempted another attack. Micah flicked the blade with hers so that it was ever so slightly out of line, then a half step to the side. Christina had attacked too aggressively, and Micah only had to partially extend her blade before Christina ran right into it. They stood there, Christina's blade harmlessly to the side, and Micah's deeply bent as it pressed against the other woman's stomach. All around, thunderous applause erupted as though a dam had burst, and Micah pulled her blade back and saluted. Christina quivered in rage, but saluted and took her mask off. She did not shake hands, though, and started to storm off. The clap suddenly died except for one slow beat, and the crowd opened just before Christina, but not to let her through. Instead, Tesma stepped out, clapping. "Impressive, Lady Canidus," Tesma said. "I have long wondered when someone might teach my little girl some humility." Christina bristled at the comment and glared back at Micah. Micah inclined her head with a smile. "She was a most worthy opponent," Micah said. "And I must say, it is an honor to finally meet you, High Meister. I was well acquainted with Quentin Lazarus and Adervin, and always found his company a pleasure. I am remiss that it has taken so long for us to meet." Christina looked ready to spit, but Tesma's eyes only narrowed slightly. "Quentin is an old friend. I would love to hear of what he has been up to these many years. But before any of this, I wonder if I might ask you a favor, milady." Micah tilted her head, confused. An old friend? Quentin had hardly painted such a picture on the few times he had spoken of Tesma. "Yes." "I was curious if I might have the honor of a short bout, perhaps to 3 touches only instead of 9? A general murmur filled the room, and Micah licked her lips. What was his game? "If you insist, I would be delighted." Tesma smiled and turned to Christina. "Daughter, might I borrow your mask and blade?" Christina nodded, and Tesma shrugged out of his coat and took his hat off, offering both to Christina. A bracer that had been hidden by his coat was strapped to his left arm, and Micah raised an eyebrow at it. "Your bracer has no sigil of rank," she said. Tesma glanced down at his arm. "The High Meister may be elected from anyone within the guild, even the newest junior meister. As such, he is outside the guild's hierarchy and bears no sigil." "Intriguing," she said. "It is almost as if he gives up being a meister and strives for something more." Tesma's smile tightened. "You could say that." He then put on the mask and saluted. "En garde." Micah quickly saluted and put her mask on. No sooner was her blade up than Tesma lunged. She parried at the last moment, and he switched into a new line of attack. She barely kept up with him, and her own ripostes felt awkward and sluggish compared to the man. Christina had been good, but compared to her father, she might have been a novice. His attacks might not have been complex or artful, but they were precise and blindingly fast. Only a handful of heartbeats had passed before his blade was firmly pressed against her heart. They returned to the center of the pist, and this time she was ready for the speed. She launched her own offensive, a mix of feints and binds, and for a moment thought she was doing well until Tesma's blade moved just a hair, allowing her counterparry to catch only air, and once again his sword found her heart. She had lost the bout, but perhaps she could save some face. She returned to the center of the pist, and Tesma cocked his head curiously as she took three slow, deep breaths. She would have to be fast and make no mistakes, and above all else, do the unexpected. Surely he had anticipated her move the last time. She raised her foil, and despite having his own blade up, he only stood there watching her. Heartbeats passed, and they both moved at the same moment. Tesma moved to parry her, and she spun her blade around, refusing to touch his weapon but never giving him an opening to clearly strike at her. It was different from how she normally liked to fight, and she often felt it cowardly, and that was why it had to work. Tesma had watched her fight with Christina and knew she preferred to manipulate her opponent directly. Tesma took a step back, and Micah pressed her attack, still avoiding his parry and refusing to enter a bind, even when he obviously opened his blade for it. And then she saw it, the opening in the pattern. She lunged, and Tesma turned his blade, bringing the point completely offline and caught the thrust just before it landed. He then slid down the blade and twisted his wrist. A general cry went through the cell as Micah's blade went flying through the air, and before it even landed some 20 feet away, Tesma took a step back and lunged. The force of the blow knocked Micah back, and Tesma twisted his body to step in closer. She could see his eyes clearly through the mask as he whispered to her. "Be careful of what fires you play with," he said. "There are things at work in this world beyond your understanding." He stepped back, and she fell to the floor. Her chest hurt despite the thin metal breastplate she wore under her jacket, and when she looked up, Tesma had already put his coat and hat back on. He looked at her for a moment, then turned his eyes to the ceiling. "Please, come visit the guild sometime. I think we would have much to speak about." He turned, and the crowd parted before him as he left. Christina followed, but not before she looked murder at Micah. The crowd closed, and Becca and Ariel swooped in, worrying over her. She waved them off, professing to be fine, and then excused herself to her rooms. At the door to the cell, she met Jaeger. "Well?" "I think we should have tea tomorrow afternoon," he said. "We definitely need to talk." She nodded. "Yes, we do."